All right, back build 2013. We're continuing on the Windows 8.1 journey. Really, really happy to have Martin Lovell back with us. Larry Osterman, you all know Larry. Really great to have you guys here. Thanks for coming.
Here. Great to be here.
Yeah. Right on. So Larry, what do you work on? What have you been up to, man?
Actually, I've spent the past 3 years doing really like profoundly low-level stuff.
Good.
The infrastructure, the underpinnings of the Windows runtime, even below the marshaling and metadata, the activation, the metadata that actually is used to describe the operating system and describe the API surface that is then used by the language projections to build all of the applications.
Nice.
So it's this really low level, horribly nerdy and wonderful stuff.
And Martin, we know you're the development manager of WinRT.
That's right. I'm the development manager of Larry's team, which means my team is responsible for the core of the Windows Runtime platform. That includes the fundamental objects, the types, the metadata, the threading models, all those pieces that bring together a platform and then enable the teams inside Microsoft on C++, C#, JavaScript to build the languages, enable the teams inside Windows to build graphics and printing and all the other exciting features of Windows on top of the Windows Runtime.
Absolutely. So now, Windows 8.1, I know a lot of people out there are probably watching us on their 8.1 machine, which is the one they already had. They downloaded it today and installed this wonderful
release. It's a great download.
It's a great download. Tell me a little bit about what's new for developers at the platform WinRT programming level, your world. What have you guys been up to in 8.1? Like, what are some of the big changes you've made, updates, advancements?
Wow, there's so much stuff here. There was a really great talk by John Lamb and Nina Kamath from our team this morning where they built a whole lemonade stand and went through hundreds of different features we added to Windows Runtime.
So blinking lights,
It's like rolling balls. It was impressive. So you should watch that video. It's much more exciting than Larry and I.
Far.
Okay.
But things we've added to Windows Runtime. We added in our team support for better debuggability. It's hard to debug async operations. We made that a lot easier. Made it a lot easier to bring together debugging of applications. We added great support for networking, which I'll let Larry talk about in a moment. We added great support for performance. One of the biggest things we want to make sure is these Windows Runtime devices have great battery life. They take little memory. You can get lots of apps on them at once. We add a lot of support in Windows 8.1 for splitting the screen between multiple apps, and so we have to be better at performing. We've got to have more apps on the screen at once, and so again, we worked a lot on performance in lots of places. So
excellent.
Lots of stuff worked on the foundations.
Great.
Yeah. So actually, I ended up really delivering two major features, one of which our customers will never see, but the way we talk about it, it's a feature to help the Windows Phone team, which shares a common operating system platform with Windows 8. But there's a challenge because their API surface, they have a slightly different flavor and a view and a, they're somewhat different from the sort of mainstream Windows, and we need to be able to make sure we can blend both of those together and maintain a single harmonious operating system that is almost entirely the same, but has its own, each has their own little personality elements. Mm-hmm. And so I spend a lot of time working on a feature that allows us to blend those two at the source level and merge those two together and deliver just a coherent product.
Right on.
And this past several months, I've actually been working on a feature to seriously improve the launch time of applications that use our new HTTP stack. Matt Mary will be talking about it tomorrow in a talk at 5:30 or 5 o'clock. Uh-huh. But it's about ensuring that the resources that you need for your application, the web resources, the HTTP resources, are available when your app starts. Before your app even gets to run, we'll have already downloaded the HTTP content, the files, the pictures, the images, the script that your app needs. We'll have downloaded that already ahead of time,
awesome,
before you even get to run.
That's beautiful.
Larry's feature is the logical extension of live tiles.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be the case that when you click on a live tile, you don't just see a little preview on the live tile that's live, and when you get into the app is live too, and so when you click on the news story that says something exciting happened in football, that there's a football story when you get into that app, not just a live tile.
No delay, just boom, you start the app and there's your story right there in front of you. No waiting for the web server to respond and get the data down. It's right there.
So,
it's available.
So it's an extension, in some sense, it's an extension of background downloading.
It is.
Right.
And in fact, it's in the background transfer namespace.
Right. So
it's
you basically built, I mean, which is a wonderful thing. So your app is always up to date even when you're not running it.
Yeah.
Well, and we're going to watch which apps you use the most and download for those apps. And
got
so
it.
You might have lots of apps that have interest in download stuff, but if you read MSNBC a lot and you don't read CNN, we're going to download for the MSNBC app and not the CNN app because that's the one that you use over time.
Yeah.
Great. So you answered the next logical question, which was the problem with too much background activity is it requires electrons.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course you did it smart.
There's a ton of infrastructure behind the scenes that monitors the performance of the system and monitors the amount of stuff being downloaded and the number of apps that you run to ensure that you have great battery life across time and yet still have the ability to have the apps that you use be fresh and vibrant and exactly what you need when you want it.
Awesome.
And this monitoring is dynamic. So if your habits change, you fall out of love with one app and you start falling in love with another app, we'll gradually notice your change in habits and stop downloading for that app and start downloading for the app you've grown to prefer.
Now, one of the things that we've always seen in Windows, the Windows app ecosystem, including Win32, is that when you give an app the ability to use resources, they will use them. You know, Office always has to check email. Outlook, my God, must always check email at all times. Are you going to be able to control which apps can say, hey, I use data from the web, so always download from me all the time, right? Are you going to be able to control that?
Yes.
Yes, actually, that's built into the feature.
Great.
Apps express a preference for the URLs they're interested in. And I should let Matt discuss this tomorrow, but
please.
They say, hi, this is what I'm interested in. And we say, oh, that's very nice and good. And now we go off to the web periodically, every couple of hours, every longer sometimes, and we have a predictive algorithm that tries to determine and learn over time which apps you use and when you use those apps. So if you wake up every morning and you grab your Surface and you start the news app, we'll say, oh, you know what, 7 a.m. every morning, Charles launches the Bing News apps. So at 6 a.m., we'll run the Bing News app or the news app's prefetch run, and we'll fetch content for that at 6 a.m.
Awesome.
So that when Charles launches his app at 7, he's going to have his data right available for you.
Love it.
And we're very careful to restrict what apps, get a limited number of apps that can be running at any given time. And the downloads actually happen in what's called, we call it a sandbox, to prohibit, like, you can't download a couple of gigabytes of data. We're going to throttle the background transfer and prevent that from doing it to make sure that we don't hurt performance.
So now, as JB is asking, thanks for the questions. This is your chance to ask questions live to Larry and Martin. These are the people that have the answers for you. So how does it all work?
As I said,
how does this work? Like, for example, let me ask you. So if I install an app, like, for example, the Nook app, that app would have to provide you with the URLs it uses to update its own cache, right? And so is there like some sort of configuration file that I supply? I mean, what's the...
There's a couple of mechanisms. And Matt Mary's talk tomorrow afternoon will go into this in great detail.
Sure.
But the idea is you express the URIs that you're interested in, and we have a mechanism to provide a link that allows a server to service to give you back a list of URIs. You provide the API, the URIs to the app, to the system, and then the system manages everything from the from there beyond. And to the second question about blogging again.
Yeah.
I really want to. I keep finding things that distract me. I have about five blog posts that are queued up that I haven't finished
like writing
and hit the publish button. Yeah, and I feel really bad about that, actually. I need to start doing
it's
more.
It's my job to keep Larry distracted well. So there's a tension here. I enjoy his blog, but I also enjoy distracting him. So there's a trade-off.
Good.
And he's very good at it. He's kept me distracted for years.
Right on. It's true. Larry's been with us for 25 years, 26 years.
29 years in
29
August.
29 years in August.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
You need your own tower. He doesn't have an office. Give him his own tower.
So,
man.
Martin, okay, you heard it right here.
I heard
right?
it.
A tower, an office tower?
An office tower for me.
Can it be made of Lego?
Please.
Something you all don't know is that Larry and I are both big fans of Lego. We both have a lot of Lego in our offices. And so if I build a tower for Larry, it's most likely a Lego tower.
Beautiful.
Speaking of towers, actually, Tower Bridge is sitting in my living room. I'm about to start making it.
Oh, that's funny. Tower Bridge is in my bedroom.
Oh, my goodness. Right on, man. So Sky P wants to know, how consistent is the background downloading?
As I said, we have this predictive algorithm that it attempts to determine based on your usage patterns and how successful, and a whole bunch of different data points go into that. So consistent. The goal is to make sure that an app has the resources it needs when the app launches.
Amen. That's an awesome goal. Golden Heaven, how is app interoperability managed if there's going to be any?
App interoperability, what do you think he means by that?
I'm not sure. It could mean like you can have two apps that can
like
communicate or
inter-process
share data.
Communication.
Yeah, something like that.
So there aren't major changes in inter-process communication between Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. And that means apps get several ways to communicate. They can obviously communicate via the cloud. They can talk to each other directly. But they can also communicate via protocol launches, by file type launches, by connecting in various ways. In Windows 8.1, we added some cool new ways to communicate. We added calendar contact type things that let apps communicate over standardized data types that let you get into communication between two different types of apps over standardized protocols. So those things all exist. And then if you and I are building two apps that don't know each other, we can define a protocol that lets my app launch your app or launch a file in your app and connect together using the extensible protocol stuff that we have in Windows Store app platform.
Awesome, man. Joshua Kosden, does the performance management affect normal Windows 8 or is this feature only on WinRT? Performance management?
I assume he's talking about Larry's background downloads. And that works the same on Windows 8 and Windows RT.
Yeah.
So that's the same on both.
It makes sense. Because they're all the same. It's all WinRT.
Right.
So Martin, any improvements at the core of NTFS? Is ReFS designed to be the future-based file system?
I'm not the right person to answer questions about NTFS or ReFS. I know they've done a bunch of perf work on NTFS and ReFS in Windows 8.1, but I don't know any of the details or anything beyond that.
So let's say this again. You guys are in there. So you're very low level. We've already talked about the great stuff you're doing. You basically own WinRT.
I own the foundation of WinRT.
That's what I mean. So underneath. So we can talk about things like the threading model.
We can talk about. I have a great talk on Friday by a very charismatic guy about the threading model.
Yeah, exactly. But we can also talk about COM.
We can talk about COM. We can talk about runtime types. We can talk about all those things.
Great. And the way that languages can interact, projections. But let's get to Martin's question. Do XAML apps have background data downloading at all, or is it HTML only?
In Windows 8, XAML apps have background downloading already. So there's no change there. You've always had the ability to download background in the background.
I think they're asking you about fresh apps.
For your
specifically, any WinRT app.
Yes, you can use a web view. You can only download HTTP content, and then what you do with that HTTP content is up to you. You can put it in a XAML app with a web view. You can put it in an HTML app, but in any kind of app. So it's there. It's HTTP-based download, but then it's up to your app to do with it.
Yeah, so it's not related to the HTML5 programming model.
Absolutely not.
It's not a projection of that. It
uses the HTTP APIs to download, but you can do anything. You can download anything you want to over HTTP.
Right on. So there's a lot of curiosity there. As you mentioned, there's going to be a great talk tomorrow. I'm not aware of whether or not it's streaming live. Either way, it'll be available on Channel 9 within 24 hours, and people should watch that. So now let's dive into the rabbit hole a little bit. What are some of the new things you've done at your level? So COM.
So an interesting thing we did in Windows 8.1 that you saw in the keynote is async debugging support.
Yes.
So one of the cool things, one of the most hard things to debug in Windows 8 apps is an async call which starts on the UI thread and makes a call over to another thread and happens over here. And then if something goes wrong over here, it's something that's very hard to work out where that call came from. And so with async debugging support, what you'll see in the Visual Studio Debugger is a call stack that spans multiple threads. And so you see the start of the call stack on one thread and the end of the call stack somewhere else. And that lets you understand which async call is going wrong, where it came from in your app, and really debug async apps much more like their sync apps. And that's something we really value, because async really helps our apps be responsive. It really helps them be reliable. It's a really valuable part for end users. But it's made life a little bit harder for developers. And so that's something we're really trying to focus on making easier again by adding async support all through the debuggers and the tool chain overall. So that's a big feature we delivered. There was a keynote demo, and there's a talk about that coming later as well.
I mean, it's kind of ironic, because in C# anyway, you know, the async await pattern is so beautifully simple, yet underneath there is a lot of complexity, as you mentioned. I love the fact that you preserve the call stack. It must have been a fair amount of rocket science to ensure that you are exactly accurate, otherwise debugging is not very useful.
I call it magic, and it is.
Congratulations on that.
It's magic.
Some rocket science was definitely involved. I think the interesting challenge with these kinds of situations is that with async, there can be lots of threads going on and lots of there can be multiple views as well in the Windows Store app now, so there can be multiple initiating threads as well. So we have to carefully correlate exactly what happened over here to exactly what happened over here. We can't just guess that this thing might be related to that thing. So
totally.
It does involve keeping track of correlations in a fairly deep way in the operating system.
So before we get on to these wonderful questions coming from our customers, thank you, keep asking them. Since we're on the async topic, the async pattern in JavaScript and C++ are sort of promise-based, right? You have continuations and you can
chain them.
That's
right. Dot then in C++ and JavaScript.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the prettiest thing to look at, but it's prettier than the alternative.
Yes.
Now, so no offense. So this works for that as well, right?
Yes, totally works for that.
Great.
Works with C-sharp. It works with any language.
Great.
All these features. In fact, we even built it into parts of the operating system that are not particularly WinRT-based. So there are cases in JavaScript which are not related to WinRT that also benefit from improved debugging because of changes we made elsewhere in the system. So,
beautiful.
So this feature can work even beyond the bounds of WinRT in some cases.
Yes.
Perfect. Raximus is API final now, and you will only fix bugs or API can change from today to RTM.
I think this question is about a place I call the future.
Yes.
And I've heard that the future exists, but I don't know much about it right now. I think it may be some date after today. So.
Right on. So we don't know if the API is final, but
it's pretty close.
In other words, you write an 8.1 app into preview, you're not going to completely change the API in the next few months.
The API surface is largely, can it change? Will it change? Maybe.
Yeah, it's a preview.
Right.
It's a preview.
This is a developer preview.
Yeah. Right on, man. That's a great answer. Adam wants to know, will Windows RT, ARM, support FTDI USB devices so that we can communicate with the huge range of USB control devices found in the industrial world, such as OBD2 vehicle diagnostic tools?
No idea.
What an excellent question, and I don't think either of us is the right person to answer that question.
So, Adam, we're going to keep your question, man. Thanks for asking it. We'll try to get you an answer. Make sure you use your actual Twitter name, so we can tweet back at you if we ever figure it out.
Yeah.
But thank you.
I know there are some people from the USB team here.
Yeah.
So
excellent,
we may
man.
Be able to find somebody who can answer that
question.
There's
even a couple of talks on USB-related topics this week, so there may be a session you can listen to that will help answer that.
Excellent, man. All right, so Fabian wants to know, do you have planned selective AppNap mode in Windows 8.1? And the question is no longer, there it is. Or any other way of better managing the device battery by any method? That's what Fabian wants to know. Do you have planned selective AppNap mode in Windows 8.1?
Selective AppNap mode.
So basically, here's this question. So we can, thanks for asking that question, because now we'll direct a topic on it. What are the improvements in how you guys are doing power management? I know
sure.
you're not on the power management team.
Sure.
That's the
kernel
guys.
There's a lot of work being done on power management.
So how do you help?
So at the very base level, the kernel folks, like one of the things we did in our team was removed a bunch of cases where we idled or we blocked and replaced them with places where the battery would go into a low power state and we'd come back. And so we would reduce the number of times we would wake it up or not wake it up at all. And that was done across the whole of Windows. So our team just did one small part of that work. And across all of Windows, we've been looking for ways to take out idles, blocks, wake-ups that would waste battery life and replace them with not waking up. So there's a lot of that work across the whole of Windows. And that helps improve the battery life situation. Simultaneously, the app frameworks, the HTML framework and the XAML framework, have both been tweaked to reduce the amount of time they require from the battery, reduce the amount of time they require from the CPU. So both of them take less battery life in a steady state idle mode when nothing's happening. So in some sense, the app is automatically napping because the framework is allowing it to not do anything until it's needed to do something. Those kinds of improvements we have quite applied across the whole of Windows. But I don't know anything specifically about app napping.
So, yeah, I was saying, and to add on to what Martin was talking about, there have been changes to the background infrastructure, which is the underlying infrastructure that lives behind all the background tasks as part of the background transfer, background tasks for apps, and even the internal task scheduler APIs that are used for. There have been changes to the way that API works and how it manages tasks to, again, reduce the overhead. There are new triggers that let it know when a system is in a high power or a low power, and when you're in a low power, certain tasks won't run because they consume a lot of resources. So that it's all about making sure the system is smart about keeping things quiet and not waking things up when
they don't need to be.
They don't need to, yeah.
You're right. I mean, it's all about electron preservation. Electron conservation.
Right.
You guys are conservationists, man. Async is clearly important because everything you do in a Windows Store app, that's what we call them still, has to be asynchronous. You never block the UI thread.
That is
period.
Right.
End of story.
End of story.
So async, of course, is going to be a popular topic. Will the call stacks that you guys have so intelligently made available to me as a developer show up in my Windows error reports?
So if I give you a beta copy of my application and you get a crash, and you send me a crash dump you collected on your machine personally, they will be included in a full crash dump you can send me. But if you are a store customer of my app and it goes via the store and you get the very tiny dumps you get out of the store, right now they're not included in those kinds of dumps. So at least for Windows 8.1, there's some support for crash dump capturing, but not the most full support we would like to have in some future day.
Is there the ability as a developer to build diagnostics into my app where I could say, in a, say, a try-catch, to go and grab the call stack somewhere in memory that you guys have preserved and stick that into a text file that I have my customer send me? I mean, how do we do self-diagnosing apps?
So in general, there are some things you can do like that, and we improve some of those a little bit in 8.1, so you can capture some stacks yourself. But some of the information we capture isn't accessible to the app because it happens outside of the app's knowledge in the runtime broker and another protected process the app can't get to.
Okay.
So there isn't a full solution where the app could do it for itself.
Understood. So the moral of the story is you'll get your what we call mini dumps that you get if you submit a store to the app. You get mini dumps.
And they're only somewhat useful.
But that's a topic we can have some other time.
Yes.
Because, of course, that whole model will evolve in the future as well.
Yes,
nothing stays the same forever.
Nothing does.
Tavi wants to know, what is on the horizon of XAML WPF multi-touch controls? So my question would be, what part of the people that are on stage right now makes you think they can answer that question, my brother? So I don't think either of you are XAML guys, but we're going to save that question, Tavi. Thanks for asking it. We'll get back to you because right after this talk, it just so happens Tim Heuer will be here.
Oh,
and he'll be
Tim Chris will Anderson. Absolutely be able to answer that question.
Yes, he will. So that's for Tim. I meant no disrespect, Tavi. I'm just having fun with you, man. So keep asking questions. WinRT, low-level stuff. COM. We talked about COM. What does COM have to do with high DPI? What does COM have to do with any of the demos?
We did some new APIs in the desktop because, of course, we still expect desktop apps to be a big, vibrant part of the development platform.
Yep.
And we did new desktop APIs, some of them COM-based, some flat Win32 APIs, to enable people to build high DPI apps and to update their existing desktop apps to be high DPI aware. We know there's some really beautiful tablets coming along with really high-res screens. We think those are going to be great. I think it would be great to run really classic desktop apps like Photoshop. We want to make sure those apps get updated to ensure that they really work well in high DPI. So we've got new COM-based APIs, new flat APIs, new support in the low-level drawing APIs that underline the desktop like GDI to make sure high DPI works really well in those places.
Yeah. Excellent.
And on that, Steve Wright, actually, I think opposite right now, actually, is giving a talk on building high DPI desktop applications. So he's talking like literally right now, and so that'll be available either now or in 24 hours.
Awesome. Excellent. In 8.1, will WinRT applications still be prevented from being able to directly call services running on a system?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a very conscious choice. We need to have tablets that have great battery life. A tablet that you carry around and its battery is dead in an hour isn't a useful tablet. It needs
True.
To be carried around, last a day if possible. And so the ability to interact with these lower level services can really eat battery life, these lower level background things that can run in the background forever. And so we very tightly constrain what an app can do in respect to background services. We have the background service infrastructure that Larry talked about earlier, and that's how we manage this kind of interaction. It means you can't get to a direct service.
And the other aspect of that is that we have a confidence model for Windows Store apps, and as part of that confidence model, we try to make sure that an app can never do anything that would harm a user's confidence in the operating system. And so if we were to allow arbitrary apps to access arbitrary parts of the system, that might compromise that confidence model.
Yes.
And so we want to make it absolutely certain that a user, there's a phrase somebody used in terms of the phone, but a user should never regret downloading a store app. They
right.
should always be able to say, okay, I put it on, I tried it, I really didn't like it, I uninstalled it. And I know that when I uninstall it,
it's gone. Yes.
And you know, it's safe to try any app, even though you don't, you've never heard of the publisher, but that sounds cool. I'm going to download that. I'm going to try it. My machine is still safe. Yes. I don't have to worry.
Because that app's not going to mess me up.
But if you think about what is the pattern of application design or architecture where you need a service. So a service gives you an always running context that provides you with information outside a specific context of your app. That to me sounds like the cloud. Yeah, so if I could have a service in the sky that would occasionally send me a very lightweight ping.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that'll be one way to go.
Okay.
Also, if your service was doing something like indexing the whole hard disk, maybe you should just use the indexer that we have and use the ability to get to that through the APIs we have. Like a lot of the background services installed by apps do things that Windows also used to do. In fact, a classic Windows machine of 8 years ago had 5 to 7 different processes indexing the hard disk all in the background all at once, wasting a lot of extra battery life. And so depending on that existing Windows functionality is sometimes an option there to avoid that service, although that doesn't cover all the cases.
Okay.
And when all things come to the end, sometimes there are things you have to do periodically in the background. And for that, we have the background task infrastructure where you can say, you know, hi, every 8 hours, run this bit of code for me. And when you do that, the system is going to do its best to run it, but no guarantees when it's going to actually run, et cetera, because we need to make sure we keep that good battery life. We need to make sure we keep the system responsive. We don't want a background task that just completely hammers the system and destroys your performance.
Yep.
So we lock those down, but sometimes you have to have it, and we do provide a mechanism for that.
Excellent. There's always going to be a little bit of an escape valve.
Yeah.
And you need to think through when you need to use it. All right, we only have a few minutes left. Gary wants to know, will Windows RT support VPN services in the near future?
I do not know anything about VPN services.
I know there are VPN APIs in Windows 8.1, but I know nothing about them. I know there's, I know I've seen the name go by.
Thank you. Well, Gary, thanks for the question. We will send that to the, what was the name of that? Anyway, all right, Noel Barthwick.
Noel.
You know Noel?
I know Noel.
Noel, right on, man. So Cakewalk, are there any improvements or optimizations to the multimedia streaming subsystem in 8.1? You were an audio guy for many, many years.
I was an audio guy for many, many years, and unfortunately, I am not an audio guy, and so I simply do not know the answer.
And Eho's not an audio guy anymore either?
No.
Okay.
But the answer, I know they have done a ton of optimizations in multimedia in 8.1. I don't know about streaming specifically, but the folks on that team have worked super hard in the last year to improve a bunch of media experiences. I know the keynote included a demo of 2 multimedia streams at once on the screen at once, so there's like a lot of optimizations there.
Sure.
There's some really cool stuff they've done.
Absolutely. I mean, the demo today actually showed WebGL, MPEG Dash, DRM, MPEG Dash, and like some crazy
2 1080p streams.
Yes.
Plus
that's a lot of work.
At the same time.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
So those guys, yeah, nice work. Everybody's been doing a lot of work over there.
Yeah.
Will we have access to the battery values now with the new API? So if my app, why would your app want to know the battery level? Maybe that's interesting.
I don't know.
It's an interesting question.
We have a battery indicator for the UI and the charms bar.
If battery percentage is greater than 30%. Okay, we can keep doing my ridiculous computation.
Yeah.
Else, all right. So Bryce wants to know what new features for people with disabilities. Accessibility is super important.
That's a good question for Tim and Chris later.
Yeah. And by the way, Tim's talk will be streaming live right in the square that you're looking at this in, and that's Tim Heuer's talk on what's new in XAML. Perhaps he'll mention that. If not, we'll ask him right here, right after that talk. What is your favorite new feature that you added to Windows 8.1?
Well, for me, this fresh app feature that Matt's going to be talking about tomorrow, I am super, super, super stoked about. It's just, it's magic. You watch it work, and it's like, oh, that's cool.
Right on, man. And that was built by you.
And that was built by me. Well, the question was about features.
No, I love it. I'm saying that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I love that. It's just cool.
My favorite new feature... We did async debugging. I'm a big fan of async debugging. We also did a feature that stops you making errors in multi-threaded situations that blocks you from accidentally deadlocking. That is, I'm going to talk about in my talk on Friday.
Yes.
I think this feature is really cool because it protects apps from doing really dangerous, risky things that we were not protecting them from before. So I'm really excited about that multi-thread block feature as well.
Awesome.
So,
I believe your talk is streaming live. I'm not exactly sure. You would have been informed if it is.
I do not know.
But if it is, you should definitely watch it. Either way, it'll be on Channel 9. And that's exactly, it's about the new threading model in this latest, or the updates. As always, wonderful to talk to you guys. Larry, come back, visit us, man.
Absolutely.
It's been too long.
I know.
You got to stop writing so much code, man.
I know.
No, don't do that.
Thank you, Charles. Thank you, man. Enjoy Tim's session coming up right now.